And so ended Dr. Edward Gomez's presentation. However, he was very kind to allow me to interview him for 20 minutes or so, and we move over to that now.
You started off, you had a really, one of the coolest lines ever, which you said, "My wife is a professor of astrophysics."
Yes.
That's a cool way to start the lecture.
Yeah, I always do, because I'm incredibly proud of her, and she gets a lot of grief, surprisingly. So she was actually in London today giving a research seminar.
I don't agree with her.
And she's, you probably couldn't see, but she's quite small, she's 5'2". And a lot of people begrudge her being successful because she's a woman, and because she's short, and because she's from Wales, and they just begrudge her. And so she had a horrible time giving this lecture. So I'm enormously proud of everything that she's done. So I always tell everybody that that's my wife. It is actually a big problem.
That's absolutely terrible.
I think it just needs people like us to not be like that and really call people out who are like that.
I used to be a teacher, but I was made redundant after some years. I worked for the office of the National Statistics.
It's 23% or something, isn't it? Yes. It's absolutely criminal. My wife does, she does a far better job. If I was doing her job, and I'm not, but she does a far better job than I would ever do of it. I'm far too disorganised and everything.
Can I ask a little bit more about Jewish? I love the science. Going back to Doctor Who, so you loved it in the Tom Baker era. As I said,
I'm actually a little bit too young for Tom Baker.
Sorry,
Peter Davidson was my first Doctor.
Yes, the TARDIS console.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the wrangles on the wall. Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't be an astrophysicist without Doctor Who. I was a massive Doctor Who fan when I was a kid, and it was actually a huge shame when in 1989 it stopped. I was really, very, very upset.
Yeah,
89. And I was very, very upset that it just vanished. I remember telling my mum, is it going to be on this week? And it just, there was just nothing. And the reason that I loved it so much was because it was scary. And it was on at a time that I could watch it. I can remember one of the episodes I can remember as a kid was Paradise Towers with Richard Briers as the candy man who looked a little bit too like Bertie Bassett. Like a scary Bertie Bassett. But the thing I loved about the Doctor is he always solved problems. He saw things as a problem that he could solve by being clever and knowing things, and not by by punching people or by using weapons or anything like that. Actually, my mum taught... when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to have guns. I wasn't allowed to... Like, if I played Cowboys and Indians, it had to be, without guns at all. Things like that. So it was that was really nice because I really appreciate that you can solve problems in a non-aggressive way, and that's something that always comes through with Doctor Who. And the writing in Doctor Who is phenomenal. I mean, everybody when I was in the 90s, when I was a teenager, people took the mick out of Doctor Who for having shaky sex, a little bit like the Liberator being shaky, like Seven as well, and things like that. I was quite like that because also it was something I could identify. It was something that was British. That in the 90s, Star Trek Next Generation came out, and although that was glitzy and it had effects and things like that, I didn't really identify with any of the characters in that.
It's really interesting. It's because I interviewed recently.
Oh yes, yeah.
And he was talking about the classic Doctor, saying that it was the quality of acting and the writing.
Yeah.
Which really is what you didn't need.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I watch a lot of classic Doctor Who now, and really the writing is very good. It's just a shame that in the Colin Baker era, the controller, I don't know whether it was the controller of BBC One, just lost faith with Doctor Who or just wanted it out, because the writing was still good, but the budget was a lot lower, and the costumes they wore, Colin Baker's costume was just awful. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm wearing one.
Yeah, there's a jetway saying.
No, I didn't.
So I listened to the Big Finish audio dramas, but I didn't listen to, I didn't read any of the any of the novels. In fact, actually, I did, because it was very difficult to get videos. So I did read An Unearthly Child, but I don't know whether that was Target. So I read some of the, I know that Virgin did novels that were like in the same universe, but there were also novels which were novels of the episodes. I remember reading a few of those.
They were the equivalent of when I was watching Doctor Who in the 70s. They were the equivalent of videotapes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And is there anything else you could say? What do you think now that the Doctor Who is now? Because you obviously still love it. Do you think that this is inspiring children to become scientists to look at that world? Because you talked about the director's space exploration, and it's so sad that you're not doing that.
Yeah.
I know, you're right, you're right.
Do you think Doctor Who's going to help for the next generation?
I really hope so. A big part of my job is trying to excite kids and a general audience about science, to make them think that actually science is something that they can do. Or not make them think that, really make them realise that asking questions is about the simplest part of science. That when you boil science down, it is just about asking questions. Yeah. And really, that's something that the Doctor does, you know, fantastically well, is asking questions and finding answers to those. And they might not be the best answer. It might not always be, you know, that's what science is. You find the best answer to the problem, and you call that the truth. But actually, it's just the best answer, and the best scientists are the ones that go, this is what I think is the answer. It might not be the answer, but we'll go with that because we don't have anything better at the moment. I think Doctor Who does that really well.
Thank you very much. That's a lovely way to end the interview. Dr. Edward Gomez, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
And thank you once again to Dr. Edward Gomez for allowing me to put his presentation up on the Doctor Who on Target podcast. And the other thank yous, of course, go to Penguin Random House. Please go out and buy the Target novelisations, or any of the other Doctor Who books, in fact, and also the fabulous BBC audio range of the Target adaptations. And also, of course, a thank you to Smerin's Antisocial Club for allowing us to use their Doctor Who theme tune version. Please join us next time, where we will be reviewing another classic Doctor Who Target novelisation. Goodbye.